X Factor is a new dominant war faction on the horizon. How good are they? How much are they able to punch up? There's a Falcon and Winter Soldier event coming this week. Very confusing. So we're going to go over what we know so far. And is Hand getting a rework? What do you think, Remnex?
Well, those minions definitely needed a hand.
Oh, they do. They do. We're talking about all of that and more on your Marvel Strike Force weekly news update. And if you're ready for Remnex, tell them what to do, brother.
Let's give it a hand.
Alley flying.
Oh, what is up, Valley Maniacs? I am Valley Fly, and welcome back to your Marvel Strike Wars weekly news update. I'm actually aboard. I'm actually out of the studio, back aboard the Milano. I am joined by my brother, Remnex. How are you? You're actually back in your studio as well.
Doing well, man. Doing well. You know, back to work.
Yes. So, so we got a lot of stuff to cover. Some good, some bad. And that's kind of how it is with Marvel Strike Wars, right?
Yeah,
you take it all. You take the good, you take the bad, and take them both. And you got Marvel Strike Force. That's what we got. Yeah. So, yes, a lot of stuff going on. I guess there's been some changes that you're not liking. Put out some videos there. Do you want to talk about that there, or you just want to point people to the video?
We're just talking about how there's really reasons why I love this game. And unfortunately, on the flip side, there's just some things that, you know, just are continuously ignored and are frustrating. And I think leading people a lot to this frustration level that we're still at. I hope we get through it.
I hope we do too. I think we will. I mean, there's too much money on the stake for the folks over at Scopely to not address some of these concerns. So I think it will be addressed. It's just the timing of it, you know, so that's the big thing.
I will say they definitely gave us a hand this week.
Oh yeah, we're gonna mention that. We're gonna talk about that in just a little bit. But let's talk about this character, the new kid on the block, Polaris, coming to Marvel Strike Force as part of this awesome X Factor team. What are your thoughts on Polaris so far?
So she's a phenomenal character, but her release method is a little polarizing.
The release method is not friendly, but we will get to that. Let's talk about some positivity first before we get to the release method, because that is a big negative in my opinion. But what do you think of her as far as a character? Does she add a lot to this X Factor team?
You know, it's funny. It's just like Beast was, where she works in these magical moments in between actions, where really she basically brings something to the team that was a little unexpected. We're looking at big punch-ups versus Black Order. We're looking at her becoming like a flex play and a lot more theory crafting. You know, you throw her on a team, and that fifth element that you can add to any team, and they're really just surprising me in every element of the game. I have to say that they're and you know what, I Valley, you know, as much as we're going to say all these different issues, last three team releases since Skeletary have all been fun, well-working teams. Yes. And the design team, and like, you know, even with, you know, it took them a little while to get Shadowlands really right when they went back and they reworked it. But that does tell you they have some attention to detail in that regard. And the team seems to be working well. I mean, if they could be Black Order and Arena, they're crushing Marauders and War. What else do you want?
That is surprising. I've seen some footage of them punching up against Black Order in Arena. They're not supposed to be an Arena team though, so that is surprising that they're useful outside of just War. Everybody, I mean, just the three of them, the Dad Bros and Multiple Man, are capable of some crazy punch ups in War. But it's nice that they are able to be used in Arena as well. Let's talk about some punch ups though. What are some of your big punch ups that you have used? I mean, we're taking a look at the footage behind us, but yeah. What are some of your favorite punch ups? I mean, I hear reports 200k, 300k against the Marauders in War.
Yeah.
How big are you punching up against Arena against the Marauders? I mean, Black Order, excuse me.
So Black Order, I've been able to do up to 150k. I actually didn't have Polaris even maxed, and she was because Silver Surfer. It's kind of interesting as a character working with this team, because one cool thing he does is, because you have got cosmic hero allies, he's given the team the extra bonus, so they're able to land those debuffs, and really it's pretty impressive that, you know, I didn't even have him at GT 12. and Polaris. Level 80, and they were able to pull off some amazing things. So again, well-designed team. She's definitely working in that sweet spot. You know, I've seen him with Zemo, I've seen him with Silver Surfer, I've seen him with Vulture. I'm not even joking. They're making some magic happen.
Vulture surprising. Now, how much do you think all of this crazy punch-ups is due to Polaris herself, or is it just because the Dad Bros are so strong and keeping them alive is enough for whatever team they're on to be solid?
Well, so what she did was she took a lot of that margin of error out. Like, she, you know, she basically allowed you to kind of get rid of those wonky RNG factors. So even if things go, and if you can see in the video, even when things go really, really badly and you're not able to line up the abilities you want to use right away, she's just able to keep them hanging in there, help control the enemy team, group them together so that debuffs land more frequently. And it's just, you know, she's definitely a high value character. And I think she's probably, she's got some great stats. You know, she's really high health. So I think she's been built with that new power creep in mind.
So, I mean, this Silver Surfer, Polaris is kind of a definition of power creep. When these characters that they're viable at these low star levels, I mean, it's cool right now for the release math that we could use them right now. Kind of makes me cautious about the future. If they're releasing characters that are these strong right now, wonder how strong they're going to be when they're 7 stars and what is going to be able to compete against these characters. It's kind of a double-edged sword when you release strong characters like this, right?
Well, I mean, it happens. It's going to happen with any game. And one thing that I will say that they've done a good job of is the reworks have been substantial and brought them back into relevance. I mean, look at Night Nurse. We can look at Wave 1, even AIM back in the day. The only one I think that really missed was Kree work. It made them good for like a week. And then, you know, the Kree when they got reworked, you know. But, you know, other than that, you know, so we'll have to see. I think we should probably give them a hand when it comes to the reworks. You know,
we will talk about that. Don't worry.
I don't want to put my foot in my mouth, but
you know. All right. So the Polaris, awesome so far. Crazy. I mean, I guess viable, especially if you got the Dad Bros built up fully. Viable at low star levels, so that is promising. But as far as negativity, she is going to be a Strike Pass release character. And as we look at the Strike Pass right now, 13 more days till this one is done, which means the new one is not even starting for, you know, almost 2 weeks. Then we got to wait 4 more weeks for free-to-play players have to wait 4 more weeks just to get her unlocked. This does not seem like a very player-friendly release method. And not just free-to-play, but paying players as well, as far as being friendly to them. But what are your thoughts on this release method for Polaris?
So it's interesting because we really don't know what to expect from a Strike Pass. We know that it brings it out. You get a 2-star from the base. You get a 3-star from the paid premium activity, and then you're kind of wondering like what's next?
Yeah.
Like, where does Silver Surfer go next? Is he going to be offer exclusive? Is he going to have additional availability? So it's kind of like the Marvel title, What If?
Yeah.
What if we have no clue what's going to happen? Do we stick around to find out? Stay tuned.
Yeah, we will see. We'll see. Where is your prediction as far as do you think these guys can be farmable in normal way? Are they going to real time arena, that battle pass next? Is that like the cadence that we're going through? I mean, what have as far as predictions, as far as availability after this Strike Pass for Polaris and Silver Surfer?
Well, you got to wonder if maybe we haven't had a Blitz release in a while, and I think maybe they're testing it because they're probably saying two things. One, they don't want to Blitz all the time for the releases, so let's try a new release method. And realistically, Strike Pass was Dailies 2.0, and we've been talking about that for a while, that they basically enhanced the daily activity that we were doing. And more importantly, I will say one thing very specifically about Strike Pass is it definitely highlighted how important it is to use your ISO energy. We'll get back to that later on. But, you know, I think a lot of people were like, wow, there's a lot of activities that I don't think people were hitting. And so it makes you hit your energy and all of that, so that alliances don't have to manage that as much for their players to make sure they can launch raids. That being said, if this is the sole release method for Silver Surfer, it's and we don't know how much of that has been tied to Offergate. You know, we don't know how much, like, if this had to be reworked. And so they were like, all right, well, what do we do with the next strike pass? We're going to do Silver Surfer, but let's put somebody else in there. We have no idea what conversations are going on. And I'm not sure they know either.
I mean, it's been very relevant. I mean, it's been very apparent in 2021 that things are changing very quickly. We get a blog post on a Friday that a legendary is happening, and then they're like, oh, it's not happening. We're going to talk about with a Falcon and Winter Soldier as well, because there was some misinformation in the blog post as well. So,
and to be fair, we got some updates from the Envoys, and then if you click on the event, you could see the event tab is a whole different thing. So I think the problem is, I think they've gotten off course so much, they're trying to course correct, and I think it's, you know, it's people are grabbing the wheel, and you know, so Strike Pass could have been a very, very good release method for Silver Surfer if it was only, you know, the free to play got a 2 and the Krakens and whales were only able to get a 4. Right, because then you wouldn't have, there would be, it would be power gated, and then the next time it came out, you would see that increase gradually over time. But unfortunately, it just wasn't allowed to happen that way.
Yeah, there was too many screw ups going on in the game with exploits and things. And honestly, I think this got delayed. I think this was supposed to be released a lot earlier, but because of all these exploits and people cheating and things, I think this got delayed a week. Honestly, I have no idea. I haven't talked to Cerebro or anybody directly, but I think this was supposed to be released a week earlier, and we should have had Polaris a week earlier from this. Is that kind of where your thing is, well, or is am I off with my guess of that?
I guess I gotta wonder if maybe they just didn't want to invite people to, you know, until they had things figured out. Maybe that's why there was such a delay between releases. I don't know. I don't think they'll ever give us that level of communication. They don't want to tip their hand too much. But I will say for sure that we're kind of in unknown territory with the release method for Silver Surfer, and now that we're seeing for a second character, I think there's a lot of frustration. I'll tell you my honest opinion. There's no reason, and I was talking to Mobile Gamer about this yesterday, there's no reason not to have the premium tiers as a core activation. Click on activate and have it as a core cost. That would make it a little less, a little more impactful, so that people can have access to more. It'll feel more like a Blitz release.
Yeah, I mean, see, some other games have that, right? And if you buy the Battle Pass, you get enough cores in that Battle Pass to purchase the future Battle Pass kind of thing. And that, or just straight up buying it with cores. I mean, there's a lot of things that could do to make this feel better. And maybe they will in future releases, just to make it feel better. You know, and I know they want to make a profit, but I think you also have to make your players happy with things. So We'll see. I mean, like you said, I don't even know if the people at Scopely know what is going, what the plans are. I think there's a plan that they have, and then they got to course correct a lot. So,
It's clear that if from a marketing standpoint, they're gonna look at the data, they're gonna see who's buying what, they're gonna see what, what the market will yield. They're gonna see what they're gonna get the, you know, what our feedback is, how we feel about this, and if they're listening, they'll get it right. And so, you know, there's a lot of different things. I call it the MSF two-step, you know, one step forward, two steps back. And so that's kind of where we're at right now. And we're kind of in this dance where, like, we feel like we're getting a little bit, and then suddenly it's like, whoa, what just happened? Why did wars not start? What's going on over here? So the MSF two-step, right? One step forward, two steps back. Yeah, there you go.
Yeah. We'll talk those wars as well. That is a topic. But let me jump ahead to this guy right here, this multiple man event. What are your thoughts on this event so far? And we will get to the bug that happened. But what do you think about this event? I mean, I think most of the community agrees that this is the most player friendly release method for a character. Is that your opinion as well?
So the idea behind this is typically this allows you for a 5-star unlock, depending on how much time is for these. You can get up to a 5-star depending on how many cores you spend. So free to play players have kind of been able to navigate this. So this is typically the best release if you're planning on building a character when they come to a campaign event. It's been pretty good. And so White Tiger was a 5-star relatively easily. Proxima. I'm trying to think of all the other good, like really, really high importance characters. So they've been pretty good characters in there. So
yeah.
I like Master.
I want to do more. I want to do more of these. But apparently, it wasn't working correctly at the start. There was different orbs that you were getting. I guess it was for the Infiltrator orb, which is the previous orb for the White Dagger event. Is the first hour or two that event was rewarding those.
That's like the,
so I don't know what to say. Even know what to say about that anymore.
Just so you know, every event that started for the past since December, every event that started has used the previous event. Like the last time we had a campaign event, like a Blitz event, like Red Guardian, it was using the anti-venom currency. So it's definitely the currency isn't it's just somebody's got to flip the right switch.
What's going on with the QA department? Where is the QA department?
What? At Scopely?
Who? The mythical Scopely QA department to make sure that these bugs don't happen.
Yeah, no, they're back there teaching the MSF two-step.
I got it. It's a plan. Okay. All right. So I guess this was another plan that happened last week. Last week, Thursday, Zone 4. Everybody in Zone 4 knows what I'm talking about. But your wars did not start in time. Started probably an hour or two later. And that screwed up the energy. Were you in Zone 4? Were you affected by this personally?
No. But I do know how impactful it is for war. Like, you know, that's an extra attack. And so what's crazy about that is it's also the, with G15 and availability and characters available in the war store, messing up war is not something you want to do.
I mean, even if you're someone that's clearing all these things, getting those extra attacks is important to generate war currency, like you're saying. And that's, gear, characters, you need that stuff. So did you know if anybody got compensated for that late start, or they just took the approach, everybody starting late and it's fair because everybody started at the same time?
I think it looks like they're a little delayed in their compensation. But what I will say,
did they say they're going to have a compensation?
I don't know that they are, but I'm sure I'm sure that they're probably talking about it. Because I'll say this: we got the lunar calendar compensation. They just did the White Tiger compensation three days ago. So
That was very good.
You know, I think they have to account for that somehow, right? You know, so I just don't know. I just don't know if they've announced any compensation for it, but I wouldn't be surprised if they did something.
Do you think that they should give out compensation for this, or everybody face the same challenges?
I think everybody faces the same challenges, but I think they should probably distribute something like war credits. You know, like if people
That makes sense. That makes sense, because you're missing an extra attack and you're not able to get those credits. That would be that'll be a nice gesture for all the screw ups that they do. You know, you don't want to do the work on the front end with your QA department. You got to do it on the back end and reward players for what got screwed up. You got to make them whole. So I like that solution. Hopefully they're listening. Hopefully you're listening, Scopely. All right, but let's talk about more misprints. More misprints going on in this blog post last week. And
God.
Yes, this upset the community a lot when they found out that you'd have to raise your each of your characters to level 75, but I guess that's not the case. What was your impression when you first saw this?
I was like, all right, I guess I'm gonna bring up Winter Soldier. So
were you gonna bring him up just for this event? Or were you gonna wait and see what the rewards were?
I brought him up to 80. I was like, why not? You know, I'm using him in war. You know, why not? I mean, it's not like, so when, you know, Captain America there, pretty good, pretty good.
Yes.
Zemo, pretty good. Winter Soldier, viable in that H3 team. I don't know if you use it at all versus Mercs. And Falcon never really fell off, but just hasn't been a priority unless you're like doing that.
Other teams have overtaken the power armor team as far as importance, I think. But yeah, not falling off, but
I got a he's a kit character, which is kind of cool. I'm kind of taking him to G15 to test out something, but that's science.
I took him to Gear 14 just to have him more reliable on that Emirators that tech or what is that called? Powertron counter for Emirators. Yeah. so many nicknames, I forget them sometimes. this is not correct. Before we move on to what is correct. Recommendations, are you bringing up any of your characters right now, or are you waiting till the event to see if they can finish this, because a lot of times they're really, really generous and you don't need these, you don't need all these stars, you don't need these gears, you don't need these abilities. You just need to play it correctly a lot of the times.
So, I mean, for this event, they actually have the data mine, and MSF.gg has the characters in there.
We'll go to that after this.
Definitely Mission 3 is going to be, look like it's going to be a little bit challenging.
Let's take a look at what's in the game right now. I recommend
bringing it up when you need to challenge it, not in advance.
I agree, because a lot of times with these events, you get unlimited, although this one has energy. So it seems like it's a little different than previous. So it's not like some of the daily challenges or some of the previous limited times events that we've got in the past where you get unlimited attempts. You get so many times you could finish it, but you get unlimited attempts at these. This one may be a little different because this one has energy. So it's kind of confusing how this is going to work and how you're going to get this. There's also some milestones that you're going to need to get more energy so you can run this more. Yeah. And you're getting points by playing in Blitz, Alliance War, purchasing the raid, and you get more points when you're using these characters, Zemo, Falcon, Winter Soldier, and Captain America. So looking forward to this. But actually, let's go to MSF.gg right now and take a look at the data mines that they got for this event. Level 3, which is the most challenging part. Player level 75 required is what it says in the data mine. Also says that in-game for the event notification, right?
It says squad.
Squad level. All right, we're jumping all around. Let's go take a look at that. Squad level, it says squad level 50, squad level 65, and squad level 75. And squad level, do you take that to mean commander level? Or is that the actual character's level, like it says in the blog post? What does squad level mean?
Yes.
Okay, awesome. Let me know your thoughts in the comments, guys.
That's your problem.
Here's the thing.
That's it in a nutshell. Like there it is right there.
Cerebro did say directly in the chat, and we could announce this publicly, that it's your commander level, not your stuff, but kind of misleading here, kind of misleading in the blog post, right?
Yeah, imagine if you see, like, because I've never referred, hey, guys, what's your squad level? What? you mean my character level or my player level? Yes. I mean, if you got to think about that, that's literally we get why there's confusion. That's it. That's, you know, I don't want to. Yeah.
It's probably Agatha again. That's writing all this blog. That's the explanation for everything. That's Agatha. But back to MSF.gg, where we have the data mines of some of these rewards. It looks okay. I mean, these are some decent rewards. I mean, this is like an additional event. So this is just more rewards on top of what we're doing. I don't know if this is good enough to build up my Winter Soldier. I mean, Zemo's already built up. Falcon's already built up. Cap's okay, but my Winter Soldier has not gotten enough love. I don't know if this is enough rewards to fully build up my Winter Soldier. What are your thoughts on some of these rewards when you saw these?
So it depends. Like we really just don't know. I mean, I'm actually at a point where
this is nice.
Yeah, where I'm actually missing G14 gear. I mean, it's got Origin gear in there, and so if all you're getting is a little bit of extra of the Origin gear, then that's actually really good, because that's really my bottleneck, my personal bottleneck is Origin gear right now. If you're getting T4s beyond the complete, you know, that if you get 100 T4s from the event for free, we don't know how long it is, but let's say you get 25. That's 25 for just spending energy that you're accumulating normally. Now, if you spend cores on it, and then you got to figure out, you know, what value that has to you. But G14 gear is still very limited. Not everybody's farming the Doom campaign once they get to Dark Dimension 4. They're probably farming something else. And then you've got the G15 orbs in there. And so those will finish it out. And so for, you know, 800, what is that? That's more than you get from a Doom completion.
Yeah, it is a very big reward. And it says one of, it doesn't say chance of. So you're getting either 14s, which a little disappointing. You get a 75% chance of that. It's 25% chance of these Armory 15 orbs, which is a lot better than a Doom raid. It's a lot better than what we're getting on a milestone. If we could do this every single run, I don't know how much the it's going to cost per attempt. Yeah. I don't know how. I mean, we got the explanation of how much the energy is going to refresh. I think it's every 48 minutes you get one energy. I don't know how much we're going to get from blitzing and arena and all that stuff using these characters. So it's I'm not sure how good this is going to be. I guess it depends on the frequency that we could do this.
Right.
But this stuff up here is guaranteed. So this is good.
Yeah.
Randomized, you're getting at least one of these, which is good. You get a chance of some of the origin gear. It doesn't look like the origin gear is guaranteed. You get a chance of some of this other origin type gear. You get a chance of this other orange gear. So chance of a lot of stuff, but then... you're getting at least one of these purple gears. You're getting one of the these other catalysts for the purple gears. So looks decent. I think a lot of it's going to come down to how much it costs per attempt and how much energy we're getting per blitz match and all that stuff. But
and you can see the characters are it's interesting.
They're not that bad. They don't look that bad. Oh, but you're facing Falcon, Winter Soldier, Zemo, Captain America, and Red Skull in the last wave. So,
yep. Mm.
Nice. So, yeah, check out msf.gg if you want all the information on this. We were looking at tier 3 rewards, but obviously if you're a lower commander level, you want to look at what is appropriate for your commander level. But moving on from this event, I guess there's a lot, and we're going to find out on Friday about the Falcon and Winter Soldier event. But moving on, the Lunar Festival. So for those of you that weren't aware, there was a Lunar event that happened a few weeks ago. There were some players that were switching alliances just to get this thing right here, this Elite Orb. It's equivalent to Elite 5 Orb without the minions. Is that what it said for that event? Well,
so basically, it has a chance to drop a 5, 6, or 7, but it'll only ever reward four elite credits.
Okay. So it's sort of like a hybrid version of Elite 5 or something like that. But I think this is some very good stuff. So for everybody that didn't switch alliances, got this calendar in your account. And I guess there's some reports of people that saying, hey, I didn't switch alliances. Why did I not get this? I'm not sure what the threshold for this is. I don't know what data they were looking at. I don't know if the data was corrupt, and that's why not everybody got this stuff that didn't switch alliances. But what are your thoughts when you saw this?
I was like, well, okay, good. They got it right.
Yeah. And again, how much if they fixed that exploit in the beginning, how much less work would they have to do to send this out? I don't know, but this is actually something that I'm happy with. I think this is a good thing.
Well, I mean, nobody's going to complain about an extra 5 elite orb and an extra 5 elite chance for up to 7 on a non-minion, right?
Yeah, I'm not complaining about all this gear 15 stuff either. I mean, all of the stuff is very useful.
All the stuff is valuable, so anybody who got extra because they were able to take advantage of it have been negated that advantage.
I mean, if you look at how much this costs in their store, this is like $1,000 worth of the resources. I love it.
So the five elite is what 49.99, right?
But the $49.99 is like 90% off though. So
yeah, well, let's talk about it. So $49.99, you got nine. So
you got another 18, elite five right there.
Yeah,
five.
Every 18 is $25. You got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. You got 125, 175. You got almost $300 in stuff there.
$300 with that percent off, because who knows what the normal prices are, because we're always getting stuff at 90% off.
Yeah, but anyway, normal prices, it's a kidney.
No wonder we don't see the normal prices. Yeah. All right, but moving on to some more compensation, I guess. QA, save a lot of work at Scopely, but moving on, we got some but the players that were erroneously kicked, so more bugs that they had to fix and give out compensation for. There was a ban wave kicking a lot of cheaters. There was some innocent players that got caught in the mix, and they got banned. I think it was at least 3 days, but it might have been up to 5. How long do you think, how long are you hearing people have been banned for this, during this?
I think a lot of people said it was like four days, but I don't know. I mean, unfortunately, you know, and so the process was, it sounded like they missed the weekend of the Chaos Theory.
Yes. All right. So let's go through all these rewards. We see some blue gear, purple gear. What is this purple thing?
Those are the purple blitz orbs, the ones that you get the gear
from. The purple gear. Okay. Another screenshot. More stuff. I guess this is the top of this. We get these orange, blue gear, some raid credits, good stuff there. couple red star orbs. We know how good that is. We got some two of these silver promotion credits, a three star Deadpool, got a Cable here, more ions, so some good stuff. I think this is the same thing. They got T4s, ABCs, SBCs, blue material, which is really good for newer players if accidentally got kicked there. Power cores. That's a pretty good amount of power cores.
Yeah. You know, that actually is again, power cores is you know, your arena. Like, did they not get their arena ranking?
So 4 days worth of arena. That's not that bad. And then you get some
days worth of arena, and I think any milestones you might have missed. I mean, it's in there.
Real time arena and strike pass shards, more experience. Again, if you're not at that level 80, this is really good. More T4s, a bunch of, so I guess they looked at a bunch of different areas of the game and gave out a bunch of different emails. More stuff here. I mean, just look at all this stuff that they're getting. What is this? Is this
that's here? That's the raid orb, the alpha, whatever it's.
Okay. Got it. One of the Greek raid orbs. Energy. ISO 8 energy. I mean, they got rewarded handsomely, as they should have.
Well, and they still didn't get their Chaos Theory stuff. So I think that's one miss. If they can go back and just, you know, again, because, you know, the problem that you have is these people got caught up in a wide net, right? And so unfortunately, that type of stuff shouldn't happen. And it caused a lot of the members of the community to get worried about the status of their account. Like, you know, could I get banned?
Yeah.
So, you know, what we said to people is just take a screenshot of your player ID. Don't panic. But I think that they want to make good on this because it's more than an oops. And I'm sure everybody in the office is probably going, how did this happen? You know? And so they were very transparent after it happened to make sure that they admitted we made a mistake. And, you know, that's you know, we call that a mea culpa, you know, and so you know, I think they missed the mark a little bit on compensation for the people involved, but at the same point in time, you know, it's good that they acknowledge their mistake.
They acknowledge most of it. I think the big miss on this compensation is, like you mentioned, the Chaos Theory. Those silver promotion credits and those gold promotion credits, so valuable, and this. Not good to be missing that stuff. We also got word of this, the new season of Mojo's Mayhem, the Battle Pass. We got this guy. It is you in the Battle Pass. The Rem Guardian is in there. I mean, Red Guardian is in there. What are your thoughts when you saw this? I guess this was data mined a few days before it was announced. We also got some changes to real-time arena. So, what are your thoughts on some of the changes and Red Guardian being the character, considering that a lot of the community is kind of getting behind this boycotting this battle pass so far? So a couple questions here. What are your thoughts on Red Guardians first?
So Red Guardian's going to be important if the skill military rework, and they're going to make them, they're going to repurpose them into the training mat challenge, the weekly challenge, right? So remember, the skill military are going to become important down the road. So having him available early to help you get some extra stars on him is kind of important.
I mean, even without the skill military team getting their rework, he as a standalone character, very, very important, especially for the skill lanes in Doom.
Yep.
And other just random war defense and war offense teams where you need somebody to protect your team. He's like a better version of Drax.
Yeah.
And has that pre-taunt.
And starting players will enjoy him.
All right, so for the people that were boycotting this real-time arena, this battle pass, I guess it's kind of disappointing because Red Guardian is a good character. What are your stance on that? Are you boycotting this? Are you supporting that movement to try to get some change in the game, particularly about Red Stars, catch-up mechanics, some other things that were mentioned there?
Yeah, I think there's different ways to get things done. I participated in a boycott before, and I felt like it just didn't have the results that we wanted. And for a lot of different reasons, but the most important thing I think about it is our reach. You know, are you reaching enough people to change that dial? And I think it's important to understand that if you're hurting yourself in the process, and the only person you're really hurting is yourself or your alliance, for growth, you need to take a step back and go, why are you even playing this game?
Do you think there should be a different solution to address some of these problems? I know you made a video about potentially stopping playing this game, but what do you think is the ultimate solution to get some of these changes that the community really wants?
So I think the most important thing is when people are at the table and listening. I was told when I was in by a very prominent individual who remained nameless here when I worked for him, that you have three darts. Think of everything like whenever you have anybody's attention, you have three bullet points, three darts.
Okay.
You better make them count. And I think some of what they're trying to accomplish is grand, and it's too hard to move that dial quick enough to make a result, to make people happy. I think they need to focus on the quality of life that is RTA. I think they need to focus on the bugs and the bug releases. And I think they need to take a look at the overall bottlenecks, from the starting player who just shows up today to mild spender. They need to understand more about are their frustration mechanics too frustrating? And is that causing a mass exodus, or worse, just a lack of faith? And I think, because we can look at the good things that have happened, and unfortunately they're overshadowed by, I don't know, bugs.
And the community was just starting to get happy again, and then bug, exploit, cheaters, bug. And it's like, when does this end? When are we going to get like a week without incident?
Yeah. And I think that's the idea is, a lot of the economy is going to be driven by, data. And so data might've been skewed by exploits. We don't know. We just don't know if that was affecting the overall cadence of the release of bottlenecks. You know, I'm pretty sure, because we did it. We calculated when the big wave of people completing Dark Dimension 4 was going to hit. And we just passed it a couple of days ago. We're almost up to 2,000 people now that beat Dark Dimension 4. So we calculated that based on what the average stuff were in the store. So if we did it, I'd hope that somebody over there got the decimal points right and did it too.
Oh, I think they're well aware of the numbers and things. They're very bad at QA, but they're very good at numbers and factoring and marketing and all that stuff.
So I guess my only concern is for everybody involved. You know, it's good to try to make a game better. It's hard when you have the attention to not turn them away from the table. And the most important part is, Rome wasn't built in a day. It was burnt down in three, though. So we'll move on with that.
Ooh. The other point about this new season was you got some changes. Now, we're always getting changes, it seems, every season. And I was on paper, all these changes, they look good. You know, everything. I was like, oh, this is good. And then after about a little bit of playing, it hasn't worked out. But I think this is one of the best changes they've made without screwing stuff up. But what are your thoughts? I mean, reducing the weekly KOs, reducing the weekly trade objectives, removing weekly character objectives. That was very, very good.
Yeah, it was actually. And that's the whole entire point is so if they weren't listening, they clearly got the RT. Like, I don't mind the RTA now.
Yeah,
it doesn't feel like I'm PvPing, except that when I get a Doom and I'm like, all right, it's on, you know, but but that's different. You know, I'm still doing the objectives and I'll run in there to test some teams out. And so there's definitely some hope that, you know, now that this is probably stabilized where it isn't taking as much time, there isn't a big feels bad man factor to this, right?
Yeah, I gotta say, I was playing this on Saturday. I was playing this for a couple hours on Saturday. Yeah. I was having a lot of fun in RTA, and I was like, oh, I'm getting good matchups. This is fun. They're I can actually try to win, and it was cool. But it then Sunday rolled around, and I was back to bad matchups again, so I don't know. It wasn't very good. But Saturday was super fun.
Well, you gotta think maybe people were doing something different on Sunday, but it was funny.
I don't know what happened, but Saturday I had a lot of fun with this.
Well, and Friday and Saturday, you're gonna have the highest group of people probably playing it after it resets, right? And so you're matching up. I think it feels like I'm matching, like if I'm playing Shadowlands, I'm matching up with Shadowlands or similar teams that they can challenge. It's interesting. I think they're starting to get some data and they're starting to build their matchmaking engine a lot better. I feel like the dial's moving here. Yes. I think that I'll be honest with you, whenever like we're in that beta mode, I feel like they should kind of be more generous with rewards, like stuff like that. You know, instead of like
you mean like every character release, every event release. All right. Anyway, we could go on, but anyway, sorry.
Yeah, that's.
All right, but, I don't know. Hopefully, it keeps going well.
It feels better. That's it. It does feel better.
I hope they release a matchmaker. I hope they make it a fun experience because that was the thing. When I talked to Cerebro a few months ago, he said they want to get leagues in. They want the overall experience of real-time arena to be positive for at least the majority of the player base, which it's moving in the right direction. I don't think it's there yet, but it's moving in the right direction. You can see that they're trying to make changes. That's not where they want it. And that's apparent because they haven't done anything with leagues yet or even announced leagues yet. They know that it's not one of the most fun game modes for the players. But moving on, I mean, this could be an hour just talking about real-time arena, how to fix it. But legendary event. We have a permanent legendary event started on April 12th, so a few days ago. Shuri, I said that wrong. The legendary Shuri is... Oh, I said that wrong again, but my going slow is not working. Anyway, permanent legendary event. That is our third. Nick Fury. I'm forgetting one. Shuri and...
Iron Man.
Yeah. Yeah, so rememberable.
He's unforgettable, huh? There you go.
Sad. All right. What are your thoughts on Shuri moving to the legendary? One more out of the rotation, which means that we should be getting more legendaries happening more soon. You look very skeptical. I see your face.
So it's good because they already announced that cadence where they're going to make some more permanent, more frequent.
The regular ones.
I feel like the only thing that's missing is a little bit of advance notice instead of it's like, surprise, legendary this week. Which one? If it's more frequent, I guess the idea is giving newer players more access. That's a catch-up mechanic that we've been kind of asking for a while. And honestly, Shuri coming out before Star-Lord and coming out before even Magneto, I think is actually important because she has some value in the end game.
Where are Yuzu using her right now? Because right now she's on my Merc team on War Defense. The lanes that we run in Doom, I don't get to the tech, so I don't use her in Doom right now. But is she viable in Doom?
Yeah, tech raid. She's an energy battery, and you got to wonder if maybe they have something in mind for the team down the road.
I hope so.
Yeah.
All right. We got a lot of legendary information in this blog post. Other thing I wanted to talk about is Phoenix. Phoenix is coming back on April 19th. How hard should players be pushing for her right now? I mean, the unlocks, we got some good characters like Hela, like Loki, like Mordo. Dr. Doom can also unlock Phoenix. But then we got some bad characters like Nobu and Hand Assassin. How hard should players be pushing for Phoenix at this point, especially because she is counterable by Ebony Maw, by a lot of characters, and her team is kind of fallen off now that Beast is not on that uncanny X-Men team anymore. Is Phoenix still relevant? Is this something that newer mid-game players should still be pushing for if they don't already have her unlocked?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, period.
Because of the Dark Dimensions or outside of that?
Dark Dimensions specifically three, and more importantly, just even going beyond that, is just the fact that she's only another member of being relevant. And so, and more importantly, we'll have to stay tuned because... there might be some other characters on there that we were kind of like, oh, you know, there's really, they're wasteful. That might not be.
We'll get to that. That was very exciting for me. And we keep teasing it. But other thing that was on this blog post, we have Magneto joining the repeating legendary, the regularly occurring legendary, where you just get mail in the inbox. For that, you don't have that calendar. I guess there's those reports of people in Australia getting the calendar for Phoenix right now. So look for that at calendar reset later on if you haven't already received that. But what do you think of this regularly occurring legendary where it's just happening more often? There might be some overlap, and instead of a calendar, you're just getting all the shards that you might need for that, or shards of characters you might need for that event.
Yeah, it's. It's a big step forward. I just hope they don't take two steps back. And I will say that one thing I've noticed in the blog is dates.
That was something that was missing for a long time. They started adding that in a few weeks ago. I'd like that.
I love it. It's
so good. It's so good. There's some confusion about blitzes sometimes, like which one is which. And now the dates are attached to a lot of these things. So very, very good. As long as they don't switch these, I'm happy with that. There's a date for this blitz, April 16th. Mr. Sinister is coming to, actually, it should be April 15th. I guess the reset time is a little different, but tomorrow, as of us recording this, Mr. Sinister is coming to Blitz. How important is he right now? Is this the character that people should be pushing for if they don't have it? And if you don't have him, unfortunately, this is kind of going in conjunction with that Falcon and Winter Soldier blitzing event. So, how relevant is Sinister?
So Sinister's never really going to fade out of relevance. However, the problem with that is his team is kind of, the last three teams kind of like are like, oh, you've Marauders, huh? Erased. And so, it's kind of that that scenario where he's coming to a blitz right at the end of his current like war or life cycle, where, if you've had access to these three teams, you now have three solutions to Marauders.
Yeah.
And that's a big deal.
Nice. So yeah, I think as a standalone character, very, very good. I agree with you. I don't think he's ever going to totally. He's not going to totally fade out of the relevance because of his clone mechanic. You get an awesome character like Silver Surfer. If he's on the enemy field, boom, Sinister clones him, and you get you may have a more powerful Silver Surfer than the other team, depending on what your Sinister is built like. So yes, he's always going to be there as far as the meta, unless there's some new character that doesn't have that. Has like a sting in their passive. They're not able to be cloned, something like that. But yeah, Mr. Sinister, good character. So blitz for him, blitz hard. And hopefully this Falcon and Winter Soldier event doesn't force a lot of players that don't need Mr. Sinister, like myself, to go hard and blitz and allow a lot of other players to get Mr. Sinister. Boy.
It seems like that might be something that's happening.
Yeah, they do it on purpose. Even when I'm trying not to score high, I'm just trying for wins. It's still, there's so many teams now, it ends up being that.
You're competing against Krakens who are doing it for the snacks.
Yeah, for the snacks. When you think about the limited gear that we're getting from the Falcon and Winter Soldier event, and people are probably going to blitz out of our mind. Again, we don't know what the energy is. We don't know how often you're going to do this. It may not be worth blitzing extra for this, but it may be. So we'll have to see on that. All right, I know you've been waiting for this. You've been teasing this the whole show. Hand. All right, this was posted early this morning, 1 a.m. April 14th on Twitter, the official Marvel Strike Force Twitter account. Devs are sleeping, post Hand Archer screenshots. So normally when we get these, it's because a character is getting reworked, a character has just been reworked, a legendary has come back, it's a legendary coming. This is kind of random though, unless this means that Hand is getting a rework very, very soon. What did you think this means as soon as you saw this?
It was a late April Fool's joke. That's what I thought.
Really?
It was.
Really?
I was like, oh, come on. Wait, April 14th? No. Okay. Oh, wow. Okay. Best in Arena. Did they spell that right? Wait, what?
Wait. Did I miss something on this screenshot here? Just Best in Arena?
Best in Arena. They have it. Best in Arena.
Oh, yeah. Best in Arena. I guess because he's not good in Blitz. He's not getting raids. You're not using him anywhere. I guess Arena.
I mean, I don't know. I mean, is he being reworked for as an Arena character?
Ooh, that is interesting. That is interesting. And considering some of the other
know.
Rumors.
Like, I don't know. When I saw that, I was like, when they sell you the hand pack, they're like, build your hand team for war. I was like, no. I don't think I will.
Yeah. Oh, is that what it said in the latest team offer for Hand? Build them for war.
When you see the Hand offer, it says, yeah, build your hand team to excel at war. I was like, I don't think I will.
Maybe for fodder to get more fodder for war. I don't know about excelling. I don't know if excelling is the right word.
Yeah.
All right, but this kind of goes in line. There's been someone in chat. I don't want to mention his name, but he claims he has a Debs in his alliance. They've had gear 14 hand for a while, so possible, especially with some of the rumors that we're getting some heroes for hire, the Daughters of Dragon potentially coming in the next update. This could be very exciting. Let me know your thoughts on this in the comments. Does this mean anything to you? Is this something random? I think this means something, but let me know what you guys are thinking in the comments. And now it is time to talk about my favorite show that's on TV right now, Falcon and Winter Soldier. All right. Oh, have you seen the episode?
I have. And so
let me do a spoiler warning before I get in here. We're going to talk everything up to episode 4 of Falcon and Winter Soldier. So if you haven't seen it, skip ahead to the next section. There is timestamps in the description. But all right. With that out of the way, what are your thoughts on episode 4, Falcon and Winter Soldier?
Wow.
There's a lot to discuss on that episode, right?
The world's watching.
All right. Have you had a craving for Turkish delights recently?
You know, it's funny because those look like some pretty powerful candy, man. And I was like, yeah. So I see the guy dancing in the club, and then I actually see you know the candy, and I'm like, oh boy. Yeah, that's he's an interesting guy.
This guy's legit. All right.
Yeah.
Is Baba Black Sheep stuck in your head as well?
No.
I gotta tell you, on Saturday, I actually look. Is there where can I get some Turkish delights if I wanted it? And I was like, oh, there's some Asian grocery stores that sell this stuff. Might be kind of cool, but no, I wasn't craving it that much to actually go out and buy. But I did go out and search for where I could obtain some if I wanted it. All right, let's talk about John Walker.
So he's a very interesting character, and I think the MCU is doing the story's justice. He's never been a great guy, right? Like he's kind of like when he took the mantle of this, you know, of Captain America, and he took the sheet, you know, he took the shield. And it really was, I think it was the first time I was really collecting comics in the 90s, his comic, a Captain America comic that I was introduced to US Agent. It was just, the stories were just, wow. Because you're looking at this moral, ambiguity, and it really kind of, you know, and so the bad guys were sometimes the good guys, and the good guys were the bad guys, and it was really hard to know what side was right. And I really feel like they're capturing that well, you know. You know, the other side of the super soldier, and I think that's important to know.
Yeah, I mean, it's everybody that I think they mentioned in this episode, everybody that's gotten the serum has been screwed up except for one guy. That's Steve. And if you look back at the original Captain America movie, the scientist, I can't remember his name, he was saying like, you know, everybody, if you're used to having power all your life, this is just going to accentuate that, bring out more of the bad. But if you are a weak person and you have good morals, this is going to accentuate that. And I guess that's why Captain America was what he was. But as far as John Walker, I do see him as someone that's trying to do good. Obviously, he has a lot of flaws. He has a little bit of a temper. He has a little bit of a moral ambiguity. He's his rationale. He doesn't show the most compassion with everything, but I see him as someone that's trying to do good. What do you think of the Wyatt Russell's portrayal of this character? Do you think it's spot on for what you remember from the comics? Because honestly, I did not read the comics, so this is my only frame of reference for this character.
So it's a little different than the comics, but I think it captures the fact that he was unlikable, a man on a mission, you know, basically, taking orders to a certain degree, but also kind of that soldier, like, Cap probably wouldn't, if he killed, he regretted every moment he killed. And I think, the U.S. agent was, John Walker is a little less hesitant to do so.
Gotcha. Yeah, he's not as his moral compass isn't as strong as Steve Rogers.
Well, you got to think about it. His he looked down and his buddy was there. Ooh. And if you think about it, there was a moment when that happened to Steve Rogers, and we saw the difference what happened when he lost Bucky. So there's a parallel to that, and we're going to have to see what happens this week when the parallel is revealed.
He didn't smash Zola's face with his shield. He showed compassion on it because he was unarmed. So a little different.
And then led to the rise of Hydra that took over. So his compassion paid the price and is the reason why.
Well, maybe John Walker's right then, because then you won't have extra super soldiers.
Well, you got, I guess you can tell us in the comments, but I don't know. I mean, I don't think I could ever say that was right, but I will say that you know, that's something that the MCU is going to probably point at and say, you know, Steve Rogers' compassion led to the rise of Hydra.
It might have. If he smashed Sola and smashed Red Skull right there, maybe there would be no Hydra, and he wouldn't have gotten an epic elevator fight. But then there wouldn't be movies, you know, extra movies. There would be way less movies. So good for the MCU. bad for the flag smashers. What did you think of the Battlestar dying? I thought he would play a much more prominent role in the series. Was that surprising to you, or is that reflective of what you remember in the comics?
I don't remember. I thought Battlestar was around and had a chance at like redemption, but I gotta wonder if something else happens there. Like I don't think
Battlestar's done anything wrong though. I don't think he needed any redemption. I think it's John Walker steering him.
My question is that like a Bucky type death where he's dead and somebody has a chance to revive him, or is that a permanent death? We'll have to see.
Oh, good point. Because yes, there's magic, there's wizards, there's aliens. I guess all of those could bring people back to life. So and Vision, you know, Vision's kind of got back to life as well. Loki, same thing.
You know what wizards are.
Yeah,
Agatha. Sorceress with hats.
Sorcerer Supremes.
Think about it.
Wait, what? Sorcerer, the last word.
No, there's the big three. There's aliens, wizards,
androids, and wizards.
Yeah, and yes. So you know, what are sorcerers? They're what are wizards? They're sorcerers with hats. Think about it.
Oh, sorcerers with hats. Got it. So Doctor Strange is not a wizard. He's a sorcerer.
Got it. Sorcerer.
I got it. All right. Yeah. So the Dora Milaje, the fight. Yeah. What did you expect that Bucky's arm could be removed that easily? I know Bucky didn't know about it. He looked shocked.
I gotta believe something that to that end, I think that's actually kind of like a shock to Bucky's conscience, that even though they were like, we trust you, they clearly had a safety measure in place in case he lost control. So that's like, that's one of those, it had nothing to do with
your brain, but
just in case,
in case there's a bug, we want a safety measure.
Yeah, just in case we got a money back guarantee.
Yes. All right. Any predictions for what? Unless you know exactly what's happening. If you do, then you can remain silent. But do you have any predictions for what's happening in episode 5?
No, I'm actually excited by it. I mean, I can't wait to tune in on Friday with the family and sit down and have our usual. Viewing session. I really enjoying the MCU doing that and having this gradual release with the family.
I've enjoyed it for WandaVision and Falcon and Winter Soldier. It's like a fun family time for the every Friday night. I love it. Do you think we'll see Zemo again, or is he gone? He's already destroyed the Super Soldier Serum. Is there any reason for him to keep helping Falcon and Winter Soldier?
I think we're going to see his real agenda exposed.
I hope. I want to see more Zemo. Zemo's been the star of the show for me so far.
Yeah, no, and he's done a really good. He's done a really good job with just like displaying that like nuanced villain. So I'm excited by it.
Yes, I am as well. All right, brother Remenix, as always, it's a pleasure. I know you got to get out of here. So let everybody know where they could find you, my friend.
They can find me playing Outriders, playing on my PC. Ooh. So if you guys have been taking a look at it, it's an awesome shooting game, but I'll be on Twitch. You'll see me playing a lot more video games down the road here. And you can catch me on YouTube doing MSF and some guides for leveling in other games.
Super, super sweet, brother. So as always, very, very good. The links will be down below, guys. Check it out. If you enjoyed this, make sure you send this to your friends, subscribe, like, all that stuff. If you're listening to the podcast version of this, make sure you leave this a good rating whatever platform you're listening to this on. And Remenix, I will see you next time. Subscribe, check out some of the other videos, and yes, check out the sponsors down below. Give me a Hulk fist bump before you go, brother. Where is it? Let me line it up. There it is. Oh, nice. Valley of Flying and Remenix! Out! Ah! Oh! That was a fun one. That's good.